Happy Tuesday morning, all. We are the Junks. We're coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, Team 980, 910 The Fan. If you're listening in Richmond, Virginia, thank you for that. And Monumental Sports Network, we're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com. You can join their team today. You got a four-man Junks show getting you through. I am Cakes at Money Metal Cakes on the Twitter, at Cakes Flops on your Instagram. Jason Bishop is sitting directly across from me.
Hello. Morning, boys.
Good morning to you. John Paul Flame here too.
What's up, Cakes?
Hello. And Eric Bickle.
Hey, how are you, buddy?
That is your foursome. I'm good. I will lead the show off wishing my wife a 30th happy wedding anniversary.
Oh, very nice.
30,
congrats.
30 years in right now.
Congrats
today.
To you, my friend.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Did you have hot sex last night or maybe tonight?
No, my wife came down with some sort of infection. Her eyeball is inflamed, and she's home from work today.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, there's none of that chicanery will be happening anytime soon.
Yeah, yeah. Keep her away from you.
Just wanted to get that out there. Happy
30
wedding
years. Yes. Congratulations.
13.
I can still remember being there at the Crofton Country Club.
Sure.
And all the guys who were in graduate school sweating their exams.
Yeah.
Because he had it before exams.
I can't remember. I mean, I remember the event, but I can't remember any of those details.
Mid-90s.
Yeah.
That was a while ago.
Yeah. So what does that mean? It was 95 when you got married.
1995. Yeah.
Well, what is the 30th wedding anniversary? I know there's a silver.
I couldn't tell you.
Which I believe is the 25th.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
I think gold might be your 50th.
I don't know.
That sounds right. But I don't know what 30 signifies.
There may not be some color for it.
Huh. I'm sure there's something.
Maybe it's your magenta.
I don't know.
I mean, who knows?
I have no idea.
All right. Well, that's nice. So there'll be no hot sex because she's got this terrible infection. Dinner or not even that?
Pushing dinner to tomorrow.
Let her heal
now,
up.
Again, early dinner tomorrow because caps are on tomorrow, but it would have been an early dinner anyway.
5:30 at the latest.
5:15 actually.
Yeah. Right.
5:15 dinner planned for tomorrow.
Well,
we're good.
Your 30th anniversary, Cakes.
Yes, what's the gift?
It's called the Pearl Anniversary.
Pearl. Ah, okay.
All right.
Got
you
it.
Have to go get her some pearls.
Well, he's going to give her pearls in about 2 days. He's going to give her silly pearls.
It's a very saucy conversation here.
Well, my eye's not inflamed, but you guys can all relate to this. Certainly, I know Jason, Ken, and JP, maybe not Cakes. Two nights ago, I felt so bloated. Mm-hmm. I know this happens to JP, and I think it happens to Jason sometimes. Like your stomach gets upset or whatever. And I finally noodled it. I couldn't burp or fart. And I couldn't, like, it just, and I looked it up. It's called trapped gas. I literally had trapped gas. I couldn't make myself burp. And honestly, I was like, I just know if I could just rip one. It would release.
Yeah, sure.
And I was up for hours.
Really?
Yes.
I've never had this problem.
Yes. And finally it happened, but it's actually a thing. It's called trapped gas.
I mean, this is where Valdez should be shining. This is kind of his Super Bowl.
Yeah, he should be playing his sounds. Yeah. Have you experienced that before?
Never.
JP, I know you've had bloated. Have you ever noodled that in that instance it might be trapped gas?
I've said many times, when this has happened, and it happens a couple times a year, usually because of bad dietary choices, because I have acid reflux, that it feels like a balloon that needs to burst.
So that sounds like trapped
but
gas.
But usually I'm able to burp and do those things, but it's just not enough.
No, I mean, I was trying to force myself to burp, but it wasn't a real burp. Like, it was just, I was
yeah,
going, like, just come on, man, let this go. And I literally, it was taunting me for 2 hours. And I wanted to talk about it yesterday, but I had
no
time.
Sleep. Your sleep sucked.
Well, until about 2 a.m. And then I basically forced myself to poop.
Okay.
And then it released the trapped gas.
Yeah. You found your solution.
And then later I looked it all up and it was like, yeah, that's a thing. It's called trapped gas.
I was unaware of the syndrome.
That's horrible. Sounds horrible.
It's a horrible feeling.
I don't think I've ever had trapped gas.
Never had that.
I mean, I just have IBS.
You've never had a bloated feeling? My wife was feeling bloated the other day, actually.
Not that I release anything.
Couldn't release.
Yeah,
I was nervous it was going to happen to me last night, but didn't.
Never have a problem releasing.
Yeah,
if I need to release something, it generally happens. I know.
I'm a big releaser.
It's not usually an issue for you.
I'm a big releaser during the show. But anyway, I thought I'd share that.
Glad you battled through it.
I battled through it. I actually thought, honestly, I thought I might have to go to the hospital.
Really?
I might, because I don't know. I mean, I have trapped. I can't do either one. And it made me think of Vin when he had a bowel obstruction. No. And I go, maybe I have some sort of obstruction. What is going on here? But finally.
Well, you got through it.
I got through it.
Yeah. Good job. Well done.
Got through it.
Impressive. Sounds like a band name. Trapped Gas.
Trapped
is a good name for it. They actually had a few hits back in the day, but I haven't heard much of them of late.
Hey, pretty cool. We've got Caps tickets to give away on show today.
Yes, we do.
Which is huge for Game 5. So you want to stay tuned for that. And Mayor Bowser is going to join us at 8 to talk about the RFK deal, which, of course, everybody was talking about yesterday.
Yeah,
I got a question for you before we dive
in. Anytime Goodell's in town, you know it's a big deal.
I have a daddy-daughter dance on Friday.
Yeah.
Went to it last year, no big deal. This year there's a theme.
Oh, no.
What is 90s theme?
Oh, 90s.
I don't know, you gotta wear like a Nirvana t-shirt. That's all I can think of.
Just like look up 90s trends or 90s fashion and see what it...
I thought I was just going to have to wear a suit.
Maybe you have to cuff your jeans.
That's what I was thinking.
I could find some acid wash jeans.
Dress like the guys in Beverly Hills 90210.
Yeah.
Dress like Dylan and Brandon.
Such a pain in the butt.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't do that. I ignore any theme anytime.
I probably will too.
Yeah,
going to the daddy daughter dance.
Yeah, that's enough.
Is generally enough.
I would do that. Yeah,
I have to do that before going to the dinner that we're going to.
You can dress like Vanilla Ice.
I don't know.
Like, I don't think so.
When people say 80s, you kind of have a thought. For 90s, I really didn't have much of a thought other than the cuff jeans.
No, 90s themes are all the rage now because 80s people are
aging out.
And
right.
Now, 90s nostalgia is still all the rage.
Yeah, but I don't really... like when I guess maybe a flannel shirt. Maybe a rugby
shirt. Like a grunge look is probably a solid
thing. But 90s, I just think of alt rock. That's all I think of.
Yeah. Nothing really stood out to me. I was just thinking about 90s.
Just dress like Eddie Vedder. Just wear like a ripped t-shirt and flannel and like cargo shorts.
Here's why it's a little, I'm not taking a shot at JP, but he's an old dad.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of missed the cultural phenomenon of the 90s.
Okay.
That like probably a 40 or 35 year old would have. Most of those people have 7-year old daughters.
So he's a little out of that wheelhouse.
So he doesn't know that like 90s is all about Saved by the Bell and TGIF.
Okay.
Fresh Prince.
He doesn't know the cultural touchstones of those of the contemporary dads
I went to a 90s birthday party back in the fall.
Yeah.
And I dressed up as Woody Harrelson from White Men Can't Jump.
Oh, that's a good one.
And people loved it.
Right, so here you go. If you looked up it on Google, the little AI thing says it's a mix of grunge, hip hop, alternative influences with iconic trends like fanny packs, overalls, baggy jeans, and flannel shirts.
Yeah. That's what Google's for.
Can I wear a hoodie?
Sure.
Better than last year where I just wore a suit.
Well, I guess. I like suits because I never wear them. Right? So I like it the one or two times a year I might wear one. All right. I didn't know that was all the rage. People are doing 90s bits now.
I would just dress like Pearl Jam.
Yeah, just dress like those guys.
What does that mean? Just like a t-shirt? Wear a Pearl Jam t-shirt?
I don't know. Just Google Pearl Jam,
I remember Eddie Vedder from back in the day. Like, he would either be on stage with just cargo shorts on, no shirt, or cargo shorts and t-shirt with a flannel wrapped around his waist. Like, that's kind of like a classic look.
Wear your britches gear. Yeah.
If you still have it.
There's no way he still has britches gear.
No, he doesn't have
it. There's no way any of us still have britches gear.
Here's the slight problem.
Probably not.
Now all I have to do is bring us a change of clothes. But immediately after this is from 6 to 8, we have a dinner. I know EB's going at 8 o'clock nearby. So I got to go daddy-daughter dance to the dinner.
That's
dinner's in a restaurant. I'm not going in there with cargo shorts and a rugby.
Tomorrow night?
You better hope the Caps win.
That's too many activities in one night for me. You're doing a daddy-daughter dance and then a dinner. Like, I'd try to pick one or the other.
Yeah, but think about this. If the Caps lose tomorrow, and hopefully don't, they play game 6 on Friday night.
Mm-hmm. Well, you guys going to be on at the restaurant.
You're going to have a TV there?
Yeah, that the place that we're going to has to.
I've watched a lot of games on my phone.
You can't pay attention. If you're in a big public setting with a bunch of people around, you can't pay attention to what's happening.
Yeah, but
I'm just looking at it like, yeah, like it's off in the off to the side. Yeah.
It's too much talk.
It's true. A lot of jibber jabber. I have done it. I've actually watched a couple of these Caps games on my phone while I've been at other events.
Mm. Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
He's such an antisocial. John, it's all
I wouldn't do that necessarily for a Skins game. For it's his Skins game.
Yes, but if an important, like, Caps playoff game is on?
Game six is massive. If
there's no chance I'm going out to some dinner with a bunch of people when I can plop down in my Archie Bunker chair and watch the Caps hopefully advance in the play.
So this is supposed to be kind of like an important dinner about something. And if you committed to it, you would just not go.
Mm.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what do you do?
Yeah, I mean,
it's obviously
before
the
schedule. You're not thinking about that.
You had no idea.
And it's one of our good friends.
I don't think you would say, one of our good friends, go to that because I have a game I got to watch.
Yeah, I mean, one of our good friends has a son who's in the Israeli army and is home.
What if it were the Masters? Would you go if the Masters were on?
I've done things when I don't like to.
What he's saying. He's saying he'll have his phone out.
I will be watching on my phone for sure. But hopefully we don't even deal with that. Why are you thinking about a game six?
Because it's possible.
I'm not really thinking about it.
What do you mean? Why are you thinking about it? It's possible.
Well, you don't want to get... No, I just want to end this in five.
Well, of course we all want to end it in
five. So bottom line is I either got to dress like Slater or Eddie Vedder.
Yeah, I think those are two good cues to go with.
Or be like me and like go to the rock and roll party and don't dress up.
Right.
I thought you were K-Fed.
One time. And I did it like 2 times out of 10. I dressed up.
All right, I have a lot to get to on a Tuesday show here on the Junks. Tariq El-Bashir, he was scheduled yesterday. He had some travel snafus. He will join us today instead at 7, so we'll talk Caps Canadiens with him. Mayor Bowser of Washington, D.C., she is scheduled to join us at 8 to talk about the landmark potential move of the Commanders back to the RFK site. And John Keim will join us coming up at 9. Of course, he covers the Commanders. JP mentioned we're giving away not one, but two pair of Caps tickets during today's show. We're giving them away throughout the day here on 106.7 The Fan from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m., so be sure to keep listening all day. We're the Junks. We'll be right back, and we'll talk more about the Commanders' potential move back to D.C. Historic day yesterday as there was a joint press conference announcing the potential move of the Commanders back to the RFK site. Josh Harris was there. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell was there. Mayor Muriel Bowser of Washington, D.C. She was also present. She will be a guest on The Junkies at 8 o'clock. So you want to continue to listen throughout the show today.
Mm-hmm. Josh Harris and this ownership group also, they've done a really good job throughout of bringing like the key alumni back.
Right.
So Daryl Green's by his side. Mm-hmm. They do a really good job kind of connecting.
John Riggins was there.
Yes, Riggins was there. Oh, even connecting Riggins. With the
Joe Gibbs
the
was
old,
there.
Old school guys.
Yeah, I'm surprised Riggins because he's so cantankerous at times.
And I think the Josh Harris era has just been different.
Yeah.
And I think Snyder tried, to be fair, but just wasn't able to connect like this ownership group with the
Riggins
old school
is
players.
Surprising though because he was one of the guys that was out there pushing back against the name change and it seemed like he wanted to kind of distance himself.
He's a very unique guy.
But I guess like Josh Harris is an influential guy. So I guess when he reaches out and you know these guys that used to play for the team see the vision and the new like life that he's pumped into this franchise that was dead and dormant.
If that
for
was
so
Snyder
long.
Sitting up at the podium, I'm sure half of those guys probably wouldn't have posted.
Right.
For sure.
Well, I remember hearing a story from Charles Mann on this station. I don't remember if it was one with B. Mitch and Finley or Grant and Danny. And he said when the new ownership group took over, they invited him to come to Commander's Park in Ashburn. And he hadn't been in basically 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they took him on a tour of the facilities, and then he kind of met with everybody. And it was just a stark contrast to what it had been like for the previous basically quarter century.
It's a different world, man.
Yep.
It's a different world.
All right, so we have a bunch of audio.
It's a big deal yesterday.
From the press conference yesterday. We'll lead off with majority owner Josh Harris talking about hosting big events at the potential new Commander Stadium.
That was the Washington that I remembered. When on Sundays, everything stopped. Everyone was glued to their TV or in the stadium. And we've already seen a reawakening of that spirit, but we want to bring it back. Now we want to bring the Commanders home with a new RFK that our fans will love, our opponents will fear, It'll be loud. We want to make it about football, but also about the city and the community. And we want to host the biggest and best events in the world.
So Josh Harris suffering with the allergies that are taking out a lot
he's
of people.
He's also
at this
got,
point.
I'm sorry, he's got party voice. He has notorious party voice.
He just kind of has a scratchy, raspy voice.
Yes.
I think it's just always like one of his things.
But he points
he's got
to
vocal fry.
Yeah, he's got
a vocal fry from his partying.
Yeah.
He points to an era, though, where he's absolutely right. Everything would stop on Sundays. Everybody watched it. Now, I don't know that you'll ever get
it's
that
still
back.
It for me. It never stopped for me.
You'll never really get that back because now there are too many options, too many choices. Back then, you had four TV channels, maybe five.
Okay, I mean, that is true, but like on NFL Sunday, like once 1 p.m. hits, then there are a lot of other options in 2025 and beyond. But once 1 p.m. hits on a Sunday,
the world stops. Like,
well, in my house, it pretty much does.
Of course.
Well, just like think we're watching the Commanders if they're on at 1 or whenever they're on or
whatever other
when
big
the NFL
game's
comes
on.
There are no other options.
Well, just think about the playoff run and how locked in everybody was. All your kids that maybe not even, don't pay as much attention. They're locked in. Their friends are locked in. You know, all generations, your mom's kind of paying attention. Everyone's locked in.
It's different. Like, it's different between the suburbs and then the city. Like, if you go into Baltimore City on a Sunday on game day, like, everyone's wearing the same thing. It's empty. Like, it's empty because everyone's either going somewhere for the game or
looks
going
like the
to
last
the game.
Of us set. Like, yeah, it's just
like no one's
there.
Out. No one's out really running errands.
Yeah,
people are walking in the street at 11 o'clock with a beer. Like, it's just it's.
But
different.
DC is different though than Baltimore.
No, I'm just saying like the stadiums in Landover versus like in the city too. It's and everyone's kind of around it. I'm telling you, the vibe's different
when it's in a city.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, I have three kids in their 20s, and last year was the first year where basically every game my kids were like,
locked in.
When are we watching the where are we going to watch the Commanders game? Or like, I'm coming home from College Park and we're going to watch the Commanders.
Right.
Trust me, that never happened pre-Jaden Daniels.
That's what winning does.
And that's what a franchise quarterback
I wonder if your kids are the same way, because I would have to say that by and large, my kids they're bandwagoners. So they love the locals, but they really only pay attention when they're hot. They're not paying attention in week two. Like,
mine are paying attention. They're pretty much locked in.
Yeah, mine are more bandwagony. When they become hot, then they really get locked in. I don't know.
No, it definitely got ramped up once they made the playoffs and went on that run. But like, we were basically watching every game.
Yeah.
We were just
But when you put
in.
a new stadium, I mean, essentially it's going to be the nicest stadium in the world because it's going to be $3.5 billion. It's going to be the newest one. So
in
it's going to everything.
Unless they botch it.
In theory, right.
No,
the newest stadiums are always the nicest in the world.
This ownership group is too good.
Well, maybe not
the
nicest in the world, but the nicest in the
NFL.
Josh
Harris, this is not their first sports rodeo. Like,
They shouldn't botch it.
They've been through too many of these.
But I think it should be clear that as far as I understand, all these renderings and everything you see, they're not official renderings. They're just what people are putting out there.
This is just something to look at. You know, to appease people.
Yeah, they're
in 2025.
People are using old imaging. You know, God only knows what they're putting into ChatGPT. I don't think there are any official plans that have been released.
So the name of the stadium is going to be the Fields at RFK.
It's news to me.
Is that what they're going to be called?
Oh, I don't think there's been any
That's for the. I think
they're talking about
area.
Like athletic fields. For
that's
kids.
The entire area.
Like, that's a separate.
But it's going to be called RFK, right?
I don't know if RFK is going to be weaved into the name. I don't know.
They kept saying it yesterday.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what people know it as. But Rick Snyder was tweeting last night that no way a sponsor attaches their name if they have to co-share it with the name RFK.
Because why the RFK name's
bigger?
Well,
they just don't want
Northwest
Stadium.
If they're paying $20 million a year for stadium naming rights.
Well,
they
does Rick buy into it happening yet or no?
So
Rick says it's looking real good, but he said again last night, this is not that different than Alexandria.
Right.
I just think that Alexandria had bigger hurdles, actually.
All right, let's move on to the second clip. This is Josh Harris talking about when he knew the deal was actually real and kind of getting down the tracks.
for all of you. When did this moment start to feel real, and what does it feel like right now?
Well, I'll start. I mean, obviously, this has been a vision of ours since we bought the team, bought the club. It was in our original plan. It's been a journey. It's been a process. I'd say for me personally, it really started to get real in the last few weeks when, you know, when the mayor, I think, shook me by and said, we got to get going, even though we were waiting around for some politics to occur. And but it got real then, and we're so happy to be in partnership with the city and the NFL announcing it today.
Hmm. All right. So they're an allusion to when they, you know, all got together and he put this ownership group together, and I'm sure there were business plans tossed around. That was part of it, sounds like, from the beginning. We're going to get this back to the D.C. We're going to get back to the old site and try to relive some of that glory.
They knew that FedEx Field was a disaster and that they were in their last few years there. So you have to have plans for what the next step is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't go into this blindly thinking they're going to play it.
Yeah,
FedEx,
but they could have thought they could have been open to putting it anywhere. Doesn't sound like they were. I mean, they might have been open to it, but it doesn't sound like by any stretch of the imagination that was the number one goal. Sounds like the number one goal was to get them back to D.C.
Yeah, and
that's what I interpret
by the level of financial commitment that the team is willing to undertake.
Right.
To get that done.
He said his first choice was always RFK.
Yeah. Yeah.
We talked to Chick Hernandez about riding his bike to games when he was a kid.
So the Commanders
got in his heart.
It's documented that they're going to put $2.7 billion in, but how much of that's coming from the league? Is that all coming from?
I don't think that was discussed.
That wasn't
specifically. I'm sure that they're going to get some sort of. I mean, we've talked to D. Smith about this over the years. Stadium credits from the league.
Yeah.
I don't know what that would amount to. They would take. So I'm sure they would take whatever they could get. If the NFL wants to hand them $200 million or $250 million, I'm just pulling numbers out of nowhere, but I'm sure they would take it to add to that. You know, paying that big fat bill. That's a big nut.
NFL is contributing $200 million towards the new Bills Stadium.
Okay, $200 million. That's all right, so maybe that helps. Set. All right. Speaking of that, let's hear from Roger Goodell. He talks about how the RFK site could compare to some other new stadium sites in the NFL.
David, I think you asked about analogous to other stadiums. I think Atlanta is a very interesting analogy also. I think Los Angeles clearly is. I think Detroit is. I think there are many cities where they have seen the value of the reinvestment into that community. A stadium being surrounded by a development such as this that I think is very powerful, and they've all been successful, both in, I think, the community's mind, most importantly, but also in our mind. But I also think they've been successful from an economic standpoint.
Hmm. Yeah, Atlanta's interesting because it really was the first time that I was around the city a lot just a month or so ago. And, you know, that stadium is right next to Centennial Park, which is obviously there from all the Olympic stuff that they did. But it really is a cool city, and they really do have a lot of things to offer. There are a variety of, there's several arenas right around there. There's like an aquarium that everybody's into that I wasn't.
Yeah, if you do it right, you plan it right.
Yeah, there's like a college football Hall of Fame.
It's an
there.
Amazing draw because I was in Atlanta a couple of years ago. I was near Turner Field.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if that's still the name of it, but where the Braves play. And
they're a little out though, right?
Yeah, I don't think they're quite down in the city, but
yeah,
the development around there was awesome. Like all of the retail and the restaurants and the shopping and the mixed use with the apartments on top of the retail. Like you could tell, like it wasn't just like, okay, let's build the stadium and hope we can fill in the blanks around it. Like there was a plan as to what to do with all the space. And it sounds like they have, you know, a similar plan here.
Well, what I found interesting is in this, they must have passed this out or whatever. Is that what this is? They passed this out yesterday at the press conference about the new homes that are going to be created.
Yeah, ton of them.
I didn't understand that at the time. There'll be 5,000 to 6,000 new homes, including when they say 1,500 to 1,800 affordable homes. I don't know. I guess that means low-income housing. Is that what that means? I don't know what that means.
It probably means big apartment complexes.
Yeah, but those things, they charge a ton for. How affordable can that?
They'll make them affordable.
And then
they're not going to be 6,000 single families.
They talk about all the jobs that will be created, the permanent full time, the amount of part time jobs.
They're trying to sell it. Look, the what I saw yesterday is you need 7 votes from the council.
Yep,
and maybe they've got 4 right now, so they got to sway 3 people.
They need to get them on their side. Need those 7 votes.
So somebody will give somebody a handshake. They'll figure it out. $89 million sportsplex facility for DC's youth will be delivered. So that sounds like, you know, they got a nice thing over there by FedEx. So it sounds like this will be that on steroids, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
An $89 million sportsplex facility.
That's
is
a lot
no
of
joke.
Money. That's a lot of no money joke. To pour into like a sports complex for kids. That's you can do a lot with $90 million.
Right.
That's a lot of fields and a lot of space age technology in your building.
I honestly don't know. I know we had guys calling in yesterday, and one guy in particular, and he was passionate, and I'm not disregarding his opinion, but I just don't see a real downside to this. You know, I just don't see it just revitalizing that whole area, which I'm sorry. If you live there and you love it, then I'm happy for you. But, man, you drive by it, it's an eyesore.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you got to look at that crumbling stadium every day. It's just looms over your entire neighborhood.
Yeah, and I'm sure there are real reasons that people oppose it. But from afar, as an observer from afar, it seems like a home run to me.
All right, let's hear from Mayor Bowser, who's going to join us coming up at 8 o'clock this morning. This is her talking about the D.C. budget crisis and how the new development could help solve it.
You know what our job is right now? Our job is to replace economic activity for 40,000 people. If we don't make some change, they may not have their jobs. If we don't make some change, they may not live here. So our job is to advance a budget that is bold and that invests in growth. And I'm going to be talking a lot more about all of that growth agenda. But it starts with a catalytic investment at RFK. We cannot leave. If you need to add revenue, as we do, you can't leave 180 acres vacant. If you need to add jobs, as we do, you cannot wait for an anchor to show up to start developing there. When you need to attract business, you have to be about business.
I mean, she makes a good point about 180 acres just lying dormant. Like, yeah. D.C.
You gotta have something there.
D.C. is not that big. Like, a 180-acre chunk of land is, like, for it not to be producing any sort of revenue.
Right.
That hurts your city. Like, you need to turn that into something.
But even
that
without
is,
a stadium, you should
down to that area.
Even without a stadium, you should be able to put something there. You should be able True. To put new homes, you know, condos, whatever, a downtown. You know, retail area right. with bars and restaurants. So even if Harris didn't pick this site, mm-hmm. it seems like something should have gone there.
Yeah.
I don't know if they had plans for it, but something should have been there.
Nobody right. wanted to invest in that area.
Yeah.
I think it's
right.
pretty simple.
Well, Josh Harris and his group certainly want to. So it's a matter of whether they can get the city council votes to make it official. Here's Josh Harris talking about how this is actually a good deal for D.C. and the people of D.C.
I think that this is an incredible ROI for the city of D.C., the local community around the stadium. The mayor has done an amazing job at negotiating on behalf of the city, but also becoming a partner with us in an investment that is going to create like billions of tax revenue, thousands of jobs, a whole new community, and tie together the city. And look forward to continuing my engagement and intensifying my engagement with the council, both Ward 7, but also the broader D.C. Communities and the people that are representing the broader D.C. community, and being super transparent, giving them the details they need. And I think the project speaks for itself. And I think the project will stand, and I believe we'll convince the council this is in the best interest of D.C.
Hmm.
A couple other things we should mention. Harris did say that they were going to try to make tickets affordable, but there will be PSLs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So he said, in the context of PSLs, they're going to try and make things affordable. They will have a tailgating area.
All right.
So there's only going to be 8,000 parking spaces.
Okay.
I don't know how many there are at FedEx.
There's a lot more
seems
than
to be a lot more 22,000. Than
8,000.
Yeah.
So but a third of them.
Right.
So imagine how much parking.
How much
be.
They're going to be. Right,
parking is going to be premium.
But if you are, if you want to be there and tailgate, just like you did it at FedEx or at Northwest, then you're going to pay for that spot.
Yep.
Or multiple spots.
Yep. Just going to have to. Pull
if tailgating your is your thing, tailgate Ted. You're going to pay for those spots.
All right. When we come back, we will get the counterpoint to Josh Harris and company's point. We're going to hear from City Council Chairman Phil Mendelson. He's going to be the major opposition.
This is the guy, this is the stick in the mud guy?
To the stadium. Apparently, he was on with Grant and Danny yesterday. We'll hear some audio from that when we come back. Coming up at the end of this segment, we will give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see Cypress Hill this summer at Pier 6 Pavilion. So keep listening for your chance to win because it's coming up shortly. So yesterday on Grant and Danny, City Council Chairman Phil Mendelson joined the boys to talk about the looming potential move of the Commanders from Landover back to the RFK site. The first clip is him talking about him questioning how DC can afford the deal when they have looming budget issues.
As well, with regard to the possibility of getting the Commanders back and getting a new stadium. Do have some reservation about the cost and how much taxpayers are going to be asked to spend.
Mr. Chairman, what needs to happen for you to not be concerned? Like, where's the threshold?
We have yet to see the mayor's budget, so we have yet to see what the impact is on spending. It's really kind of hard to know the situation. My sense is that the mayor's deal with the Commanders is going to cost over $1 billion. But we're just now starting to get some information on that. This may be shocking to your listeners, but the mayor has not chosen to share anything until now with the council, even though the council has to approve. And I certainly hope we don't see the same kind of situation that we saw last year in Virginia. So I estimate that it's at least, close to $1 billion. That's $500 million for horizontal construction, plus another $181 million that's going through a affiliate of the government for parking, plus another $175 million, which is pledged from future taxes for to be reinvested in something like the year 2032. That's $856 million right there. Plus the cost of borrowing, plus there are going to be improvements that are necessary for the metro station, plus the improvements to federal parkland per deal the mayor made with the Senate last year. So it's going to be at least $1 billion, and we have not seen all the details.
Well, listen, I have to say, in the spirit of open, I'm all about fiscal responsibility, so I am sympathetic to what the guy is saying. Let's see what the mayor's response is. I think he brings up valid points, to be honest.
Yeah,
with
where
you.
Does the money come from?
Yeah, right? it's an issue everywhere with government.
But I'm sure they'll find it. They'll probably agree.
It's something needs to be cut or slashed or
yeah.
So
I think they raise taxes. Is they never cut.
It's usually a tax raise.
Right, and the problem is you can't just keep raising taxes. At some point, there has to be a stop. So I am sympathetic to his objections. But it would be great if they can cut some things. Absolutely.
That's
the hardest thing to do maybe in the world is cut spending, like government spending. It's like impossible.
I'm sure it is. But if I'm Mayor Bowser, I'm going to push back by saying, well, we're going to bring in a Super Bowl that's going to bring in hundreds of millions of dollars to the city.
Yeah.
We're going to potentially prove that we're going to potentially works, yeah. bring in the Olympics. We could have World Cup games, Super Bowl, yeah. huge, it's going to be a revenue generator for the city.
It just has to be. I'm actually sympathetic to his concerns.
Right.
But just prove to the guy how it is going to bring, how it is an investment, how it is going to bring in all this money. He probably can make it happen. But I am sympathetic to what he's saying. You know, can you imagine if you're on the city council and you've seen no plans?
Right.
And all you've seen is a billion-dollar expenditure?
Mm-hmm.
And you've literally seen no plans on how they're going to recoup that money.
All right, let's hear the second clip from Phil Mendelson. Basically, he's saying if it were presented to him now that he just doesn't have enough details to give it a yes vote.
You said you don't think there are the votes. Can you expound upon that? Are you pretty confident right now that they don't have seven people that would support this?
Well, you know, the problem with my answering a yes is that sounds a bit confrontative. And I don't wish to be confrontative at this point. But I think that if this was before the council today, they would not vote for it, in part because we don't know enough, but in part because they would see the price tag too high, and in part because we have not seen what the mayor is proposing with the budget and the cuts that we know they're going to be in the budget. You know, let me just say on that, the mayor's budget was due on April 2nd. We will, if we're lucky, get it the middle of May. That's 7 weeks late. And we expect that there's going to be close to $1 billion in program cuts in what she sends to us. What is she cutting, and where is she getting the money for the stadium? And I think with those unknowns, it's hard to say that she would have support right now.
I think what he's saying makes all sense in the world, but it doesn't mean that she can't overcome it. But, yeah. You know, hopefully she's the well-thought-out plans, and if she does have cuts, great. And if she does have, projected revenue to withstand any loans that might happen or whatever, to front the money, whatever it's going to take. I don't think it's a hurdle that can't be overcome, and I also don't think what he's saying is unreasonable. So
confrontative is a good word.
He doesn't want to be. I actually respect the guy. He's like, I don't want to be a jerk, but you're asking me right now, how can I vote on something? And unfortunately, this happens to government all the time. They vote on stuff, and they don't even know what they're voting on. There's no plans. There's a 7,000-page bill. No one's read it.
Oh, who's going to read 7,000 pages?
Well, I mean, this kind of stuff happens all the time.
Right.
I'm actually sympathetic to what the guy's saying. But I do think that he could be, you know, convinced. But the guy's simply saying, I haven't even seen a plan.
Yeah, you need to see the numbers.
How can I vote on something? I've seen nothing.
Well, I know. And
it's very reasonable what he's saying.
If the cuts have a major impact on his constituents,
right.
As much as you want a stadium and your good conscience, you can't do it.
Yeah.
You got voted there to theoretically represent your constituents.
But my guess is that Mayor Bowser's team will hopefully come up with something that knocks us off.
Find a way to convince him.
And convince him.
To vote for the stadium to come down to the RFP.
Or they give him some concessions and something else.
Right.
But what if those three members just don't like what they're seeing and they don't vote for it?
Well, then.
I mean, it's possible.
Definitely possible.
Of course it's possible.
I think what he's saying is reasonable, but I have a feeling they're going to overcome
it. If that happens, then.
I mean, I would probably bet on that too, but you never know.
Yeah.
Then they have to find a new site. They have to go. They have to go to. I hope Josh Harrison and company have a plan B.
I think what he's saying is very reasonable. How can I vote on something when I've seen nothing? All I've seen is a press conference, and I'm doing the math in my brain, and you're spending $1 billion we don't have. What he's saying is perfectly plausible.
Well, to be fair, it's $1 billion stretched over several years.
Okay,
it's not just like all of a sudden there's $1 billion due in 2025 or 2026.
It's a quarter of $1 billion due this year and a quarter of $1 billion the next year.
I like installments, spreading things out, not having to pay all at once. Jason, you're a big fan of that.
Don't talk to me
about
that.
It's like how you buy an appliance at Best Buy. You stretch it out over a bunch of years.
They still have those?
I'm sure they do.
No. Yeah, the no interest for a year. Yeah.
No, I'm saying Best Buy's. They closed the one in G-Bird.
Yeah, of course they've got
them. I think their footprint is getting smaller, but they're still around.
They're still around. They're still alive in some places.
I'm such a Best Buy guy, but it's a dying.
You love the Magnolia.
I love Theater Best Center. Buy, but why would people go there anymore? You don't need to. What were we going to say, Drabby?
First off, there's Best Buy's all over the place.
There are, but they're pretty empty. They don't have that many staffers, and there's not a big reason to go there anymore.
I think people are sleeping on what a miracle that Senate overnight thing was back in December when they passed it in the last hour, because Bowser highlighted yesterday that they were at the very end and they were both ready to move on or knew they had to move on if it wasn't going to work out. And thankfully they passed this overnight, this bill, the Senate, and they're able to get this going. Otherwise, the team really would be stuck in Landover or moving to Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
That was a miracle.
Sure. For
those that want the stadium in D.C.?
For me, it doesn't bother me wherever you put it. I think it's great for the city if you can get it there. It'd be great for the city, I think, at the end of the day.
Well, I think Mendelsohn knows that. He just needs it to make sense financially for the residents.
Right. And he needs to see a plan.
Yeah.
Believe me, I'm no fan of this guy. I've never, you know, but it sounds, what he's saying sounds perfectly reasonable.
All right, we're going to hook up the 10th caller right now at 800-636-1067. You're going to score two tickets to Cypress Hill and Atmosphere Dank Days of Summer Tour. It's Friday, August 15th at Pier 6 Pavilion. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event info, go to thefandc.com/events. 10th caller right now. You will win. Don't forget, Mayor Bowser will join us coming up in just about an hour. That's at 8 a.m. But when we come back, we'll talk Caps Canadiens with Tarik El-Bashir, Caps insider for Monumental Sports. He's going to join us next.